TFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Visit www.CapturedPrey.com for all your import, transformers, and third-party figure needs. And save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular toy conventions like BotCon and TFCon, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan.
Stars that came here to earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
The Scepter here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hello, and welcome to episode 130 of TFYLP. I am not Werewolf. I am not his inner robot either. I am Headmaster Don, and we are talking about Combiners tonight. Everybody's favorite Transformers, next to Headmasters, of course. With me, we have Brycey. Dr. Archiville, genius of science.
Yeah.
We have Plasticon.
Yeah, me, of course.
Yep. He is trying to sans video tonight, so that way his internet doesn't hate him. We have Megamus. And we have
Max.
And we have Megamus sleeping in it. We have Max sleeping on a chair over there.
Now, just make sure everyone knows that the main reason that Plasticon has no video is because, you know, we got a few complaints on his appearance, so we're trying to tone down the scariness of the show a little. So we're going to try this for a change.
I thought that was me wearing the thong last time.
It could be from that too. We just got a lot of bait reviews on that. So we're going to try something a little different.
Yeah,
that was unfortunate.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Combiners with the new Combiner Wars coming out relatively soon. Some websites are saying the figures will be out by the end of November, early December. So we're going to talk about the history of Combiners. We're going to try to bring up as many as possible. Some we're not going to, you know, talk about more, you know, as much as others. But let's go ahead and start back at the beginning with where it all came from.
Where it all came from.
They must be talking about Diaclone.
I remember someone to do the Diaclone, like Diaclone.
It's Diaclone.
Diaclone.
That's right.
Anyhow. Right. Yes, the Combiners actually started out with Diaclone. Starting the line, there was this great robot that most people are not really that familiar with, and it's a 14-in-1 called Gotts Blocker. I know Megamus here, he's got one in hand. He's going to hold up. We're not really going to go too far into these in particular, but if you want to know more about them, you can check out my reviews on my YouTube. And I actually have that, and I also have a KO version of him. He's a 14-in-1 combiner for those that are our audio listeners. Primarily has 14 little vehicles. They combine and build one big gigantic robot. None of the smaller vehicles turn into anything else besides small vehicles and limbs.
Now, is this the one most of us that don't deal with the history other than starting with Transformers? Is that the one we've known under the Chronoform trademark?
Yes. Yes, he's also known under Chronoform and Diachron. Not Diaclone, but Diachron. There's two different versions. Oh, three different versions of him, but most people know him also as Multiforce. Yes, that can be very confusing considering there's the Landcross combiner called Multiforce. He's also known as Multiforce.
So just think of a teeny tiny vehicle Voltron.
Yes, it's primarily what it is. It's
a lot more vehicles.
Yeah. He's a real solid combiner, and there's a lot of the die cast is primarily in the wheels and in the center chest. The rest of them are primarily little plastic robot or plastic little space shuttle things. If you want to know what the little spaceship kind of things are, think of the Jetsons because they're kind of like that.
And actually, he's one less than Vehicle Voltron.
Yes, he actually is. Moving on, though, is the adversary called Wateros. Wateros is primarily...
Got the little drivers.
He's playing with the one right now. He's showing you the little drivers actually fit in it, little magnets and stuff. But the adversary, Wateros, is a bug combiner. It consists of three crazy-looking bugs. One of them looks something like an ant, kind of like a cross between an ant and a beetle. The other one is more like a mosquito. And the third one is like a scorpion.
There it is.
Megamus is holding him up right there. He's actually really, really cool. He's got a lot of different places that the Diaclone drivers can actually fit in combined mode, which is kind of cool, especially on the chest piece, because the chest piece can hold two Diachrome drivers at the same time.
No, I'm going to spill out. Sorry, there he is.
But yeah, it's a really, really successful robot. It's got a lot of heft in it. It's probably one of my favorite of the Diaclone line because it's got firing fists also. That's also a big plus on him. Gotsblocker does not have firing fists, although for you guys out there that possibly have YouTube Diaclone and seen the Gotsblocker commercial, it shows the fist firing off of Gotsblocker. It does not happen. But Wateros does have firing claws. He's also got little translucent wings that are on the mosquito part, which is sometimes notorious for getting broke.
There you go.
Along with the mosquito's nose portion. Those are really, really rare to try to find one that actually has all that.
So I guess none of those reissues or anything?
No.
There was a Taiwanese version.
Yeah, they had a – I believe it was Chronoform, if I'm not mistaken. I know you can easily get Chronoform and Diachron mixed up because there's a lot of times that they do release one or the other. Stateside, I think the only one we actually saw on Stateside was Gotsblocker. I don't think we saw much of Wateros. He's a lot more rare out of the two.
Sounds something that Kara could reissue with a Solichigokin line, make something with a little more heft to it.
Right. Now let's go into one that we're all going to be kind of familiar with here pretty soon, according to Fans Project. We've got this one that's called King Dam. And King Dam, he is a 3-in-1 combiner as well. He primarily consists of three vehicles that form into one big robot. Each one can hold Diaclone drivers. And he has firing fists as well. He's a lot smaller than the other two. But this thing has got, like, a ton of die-cast in it. It's probably – I would say he weighs a lot more than the Multiforce, G-Blocker, or Gotsblocker, as most people call him. I do believe he does weigh a lot more because he does have quite a bit of heft in him. I've got two of that guy myself, and he's probably one of the – I would say he's one of the more – finicky ones to try to put together because he has a lot of sliding mechanisms, but it's kind of cool how the engineering is designed on him. All these, but Wateros I've actually done reviews on. So if any of you guys want to go back and check those out, you can actually see those on my YouTube. But when it comes to the Diaclone stuff, and that one was released, like what you're talking about, like the Taiwanese and such. Mm-hmm. King Dam, I think, had a wider re-release through several different other chains other than Chronochrome and Diachron. He's a pretty easy one to find. He doesn't really cost all that much, but it's sometimes very difficult to try to acquire all the parts for him, considering he has quite a bit of fire and missile gimmicks, which is more than the other two have.
Do we have any information when the Fans Project version is coming out?
I am not absolutely sure. Actually, the Fans Project just kind of teased what they had, and that's the third-party version of the King Dam that they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. I'm kind of on the edge of my seat about that because I like Fans Project's stuff. They're pretty solid, and I really enjoy where they've been going with the lines. So I'm pretty excited to see what they're going to do with that, and I'm hoping enough people are going to buy into getting that. It's going to cause them to go in and start doing the other ones. I would love to see them tackle a Die Attacker, considering that is probably one of the harder robots to try to get out of Diacon line. And it's just a very, very interesting transformation on Die Attacker.
Not getting off on a tangent, but I think that's something all of us have said to one point or the other, that we wish some third parties would sort of stop doing multiple predicates and do this more unique stuff that we're not going to see from Hasbro or Takara. So hopefully this will be something of a trendsetter.
Right, and I completely agree with that, because the trendsetters are the guys that actually make a newer bot that nobody else has done. It's kind of like, when Fans Project did the Glacial Bots. This is another combiner we're going to probably talk about later on, but when they did that, they did something that nobody else did. Granted, it probably didn't hit as hard as it probably should have, and most people that I've talked to, they didn't buy it until they actually got one in hand, and then they kicked themselves for not pre-ordering the thing, because it is a fantastic toy.
And by that point, it was too late to find them reasonable.
Yes, it's very difficult to find them, and I'm not absolutely sure if Fans Project's going to jump back on board and do any more with the Retro Future line.
I've heard from a couple of different people at TFCon and at PotCon, because it didn't do as well as they had wanted it. It's what they had planned next is on the back burner for right now. And that's all I've heard. It's on hold for right now.
Right, and like I was saying, I mean, these bots are pretty solid, and as for Fans Project, they do a very, very good job with the designs that they actually come up with. And considering they've been doing the those not Power Master gimmicks lately, I think that's actually been bringing a lot of people into that type of fandom, and having like a smaller robot combined with the bigger robot kind of gimmick versus just going and finding like just one robot that does everything. I'm kind of excited to see what else they're going to be doing. But let's go into more harder to find G1s that most people have. But I'm referring to the Diaclone versions of the Devastator and Raiden, also known as the Train Bots, or Train Robo is what it's called in Diaclone.
Well, which do you want to do first?
And the Bolt Team is what the what Devastator was actually called. Say again?
Which do you want to do first, Devastator or Raiden?
Let's talk about Let's do Raiden first, because considering Raiden doesn't have as much as Devastator does.
Here is the Diaclone version, Raiden.
Yes. Now the Diaclone version of Raiden.
No, this is the U.S. version. Sorry, the Japanese version.
He's got the.
Because it has the chest piece on it. And the launchers. They don't launch. That's the difference. Was there a color difference? I've got him up there, but pull it down.
There's one color variant that came out during the Diaclone age, and that consists of the larger locomotive, the larger diesel locomotive that's actually got like the cab that kind of sticks up higher. It's the bulkier, bigger bot. That one actually has translucent orange versus it being red. It's a really, really, really difficult one to find. I myself been out there, being one of those guys that goes out there and hunts up Diaclone. It's very difficult to find some of these guys. And that one is possibly one of the hardest to acquire.
Well, then there's also the Chrome.
And then you've got the one that is considered as the leader in the normal Raiden bot. But in the Diaclone, he's somewhat more or less the leader, but he is the white and blue bullet train.
He's the one that they're using for that Milton Astro Train repaint, isn't he?
Possibly.
Shoki?
Shoki. I believe it's Shoki's his name.
Upper chest of Raiden.
Yeah.
This guy right here.
So if anyone was wondering where they got that color palette for that Astro Train from Milton Publishing, it was from the that character.
Yeah. Right, and the variant that's a Diaclone, he's chrome. He's straight up chrome. The whole train is chrome, and I think on eBay, was it about a month ago, Brett? I think me and you were both looking at the same one. High chrome wear on that thing, but it was still going for an insane amount of money.
Right, because, you just don't come up.
So right. And, big money. And the thing is about this set that we're talking about, those were all individually packed. They were never packed in a gift set. That's why they're so difficult to get.
Right.
And it's not like Raiden himself from Headmasters is just stumbling over them everywhere you go.
Yeah, he's cheap, too. Easy to find.
Well, and that was the other funny thing I was going to say. Real quick, the Diaclone version of this guy does not come with this piece here, and it actually has spring-launching fists. So those have been remolded. It comes with tracks and a little green connectors.
Yeah, the green connectors come with the Transformer version, too.
Okay, but it doesn't go with the tracks.
No. No tracks and no drivers.
And in my opinion, the Diaclone one goes for less money than the Japanese one.
Yeah.
That's very true. I've seen
the Diaclone one go for less, much less. Not the alternate color one that we were talking about before, but just the straight up regular Diaclone version is actually cheaper than the Transformers one.
Yeah, it is.
A little easier to find, actually. I've seen more Diaclone ones than I've seen Transformer ones.
That's probably why, too. There's so many of them out there. Just for some reason.
But,
a lot of Headmasters era stuff is really expensive and hard to find, though. Say, out of all the Japanese lines, probably the hardest one to complete.
Yeah, it's just... I was lucky enough, and I got the gift set for Raiden many years ago. But fortunately, some of the yellowing has already kicked in on a few of the figures. Even being kept in a dark closet away from sunlight, it's still age yellowing. But it's a fun combiner. He's a little floppy though. So so it's one of those that I can't recommend unless maybe y'all are different. I can't recommend it as being the best Japanese combiner. If you're looking for something that doesn't have an American counterpart.
No.
Right. Now, the other funny thing is this is the Japanese one, and they added this piece. And in my opinion, was probably the smartest thing they did because it actually kind of keeps it all together.
Yeah.
Whereas the Diaclone one, this front piece would be floppy. And as you can see, if you lift up, the whole piece comes up. So it is kind of stuck together, but... If you get it in there just right, it's a fairly solid piece.
It's a fun toy, but it's not unless you're a Japanese completist or you just want a combiner that doesn't have an American counterpart. It's not one you go rush right out and get.
Yeah, but let's be honest. The very first Devastator, I would not say is the most sturdy combiner out there. I remember when I got that as a kid. That thing made me – that ticked me off. Every time you played with it, you grabbed it and the arm would fall over the head.
Well, let's – I mean, the thing is with the variant that we're talking about, though, with that Diaclone gradient, there's so many different color differences on that particular one that we're talking about that it's a very, very – it's a very difficult one to find because you had the yellow train has blue striping instead of the reddish striping. There's a blue and yellow train. That one is is turned almost a copper color on the variant. And trying to remember the other train that's a white and green bullet train. That one has became a orange train with blue stripes. It's more of a, it's kind of a mixture between orange and yellow. It's kind of a really, really odd color. But he's absolutely right. The combiner bits for that one are a complete different color. The chest portion on that one is more of a copperish color, so it matches the one train. And I'm trying to remember actually, that one didn't have the cross piece chest portion that we're talking about that was added in, that we were talking about. That it doesn't.
No, it's Transformers only.
It does not exist on that one.
I think it helps to lock it in because it plugs into the crotch piece too.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what color the green one was. I think the green one was turned like blue or something. I can't remember offhand because I don't have mine in hand. But it's a very difficult bot to get. Well worth the hunt if you're into trains like me. I'm a bit of a train enthusiast, so I love trains. So that's why I absolutely love Raiden. I think he's probably one of the coolest combiners. But that's just me. Let's go ahead and let's talk about that Devastator that you were talking about. How many of us here actually own a Diaclone Devastator?
I have two.
He has two of them.
That's it.
I actually own the entire Diaclone Devastator.
Now I have a complete. And this guy. Which, if you look, they look really close. Oops. There you go. Really close. And this one even says, this is where it's most confusing if you read the side of it.
It does say Diaclone on it.
But this is the knockoff.
Yeah, which is the Taiwan version, which is actually not that damn bad.
They're very close. Can you focus in enough? Let me see. It should say it right there. Let me see here. Focus, you bitch. Anyway, trust me, it says Taiwan. Whereas this one, you can see it. It says Takara.
Yep.
But they look very similar. Very similar.
Well, that's the thing. When it comes to Diaclone Devastator, there was the variant that you're talking about that you have in hand. And there is also another variant of him that came out where Hook is blue. I want to say the Steamette mixer was blue as well.
Well, if you really must know, there's one on eBay right now.
Yeah, I grabbed that.
If you got $5,000, you can have it too.
Yeah. $5.
Well, this is a big kicker dealing with this particular Diaclone toy. I know we're kind of dragging our feet on this a little bit. That Diaclone toy, you could put together and you could fly it around the room and it would not fall apart. The fitment of that toy is so superb compared to the one that Hasbro released to us back in the 80s that it's comparing apples to oranges. It really is.
Now, the neat thing is, here's the box artwork, and this is the two variations. You can look at it in one shot that he's talking about. If you look, see if I can get my little mouse over here. You see the blue one, but the box art shows orange. That was the first release. I don't know if this was the first release and this is a second or vice versa, but definitely this set is the more desirable one because it's a little more colorful. As you can see, the long haul stayed the same. Mixmaster became blue also, Scrapper remained the same.
No, he did not.
Remained the same.
Look at the. There is now, a difference.
The canopy could be different. I don't know if the other one is or not.
Well, that's where the G2 variant got its, for the European release, got the crazy colors for the canopy being silver.
And the
shovel being silver, and the canopy on the bulldozer being silver. That's why those are like that in the G2 colors, because it was pulled directly from this version.
So I'm assuming, seeing as mine is Takara, and it has a yellow canopy, that I'm willing to bet that the first release that came with the orange hook did not have the silver pieces. That's what I'm assuming. I'm assuming on that, but there you go. There's both colors of this one, and you know, if you really want it, this is not my auction by any means. Knock yourself out if you've got the, you know.
And I'm going to be honest with you.
Payments to go ahead and put down. Knock yourself out.
Is it sealed?
Well, okay.
It is not.
Well, let me go into more of a detail here, because most people don't understand the reason why this thing drives for so much money. By the way, that guy has this thing way overpriced. It should only go for 16. It should never go up that high. Anyway,
but it does have this. This was the other thing.
The bag of plastic crack.
It's got the plastic crack in there, which is supposed to be why you can take the little shovel and scoop it up. And it should have, there it is, the play mat that was underneath. It had a little screen with a plastic little, that's upside down, but it's got this plastic little scenery with the backdrop, and it's actually pretty, pretty cool.
And it also had little bitty cardboard beams that you could punch out and actually combine together to make a freestanding little building.
That's this right here.
Yes.
That's for someone who doesn't deal with the Darkstone side of the Transformers universe, that's pretty damn awesome.
Oh, it is. Right. But, I mean, look at this. We got the right here, the little Breaking Bad, you know, what was it? Meth, a little Breaking Bad meth bag going on here. I mean, he's even got unused sticker sheets and everything. I mean, it is by far. If you wanted a perfect example that was not sealed, which I don't even know. Yeah, they were sealed. I'd say this is it. I mean, this is definitely rock solid.
Right.
I just couldn't justify that price.
And the reason why it drives such a high price is because A, they're very rare to come across, especially this complete and nothing being broke. And also the portions that are normally missing, the chest piece on that particular one there is red. If you notice when he was hovering over it, Devastator's head portion that actually plugs into Hook is red versus it being the black It's supposed to be blue on the other variant that is the more common one. The one that he's showing right now, that is the more rare variant. That is not the most common variant. The common variant is the one with the blue chest piece, not the red. That's an automatic indication between those two. By the way, the fitment of both are absolutely identical, and they are just beautiful pieces. I've actually messed with one of those before. With the bag of plastic crack and stuff, and
now here's
absolutely
the neat part.
Beautiful bot.
Here's the other neat part, and let me show you something else here. You can see it right here, and this one's red, but the more common color is blue. But here you go. See if you can see. Molded just like your G1. Here's the difference.
It launches.
Off it goes. It doesn't just, you know. It shoots pretty good.
The springs in those were very, very, very strong. And basically what that is, for those who like to go in and do modifications to their toys, because I know some of you guys do, the spring gauge wire is a lot thicker on that version than it is on your G1 Devastator. Although G1 Devastator does fire its fists, that particular one there has a larger gauged spring, so they do fire a lot further. So it's just an idea for any of you guys out there that like to replace springs and such inside your toys.
Well, honestly, it would work great. Give you a little hint. Here you go. There's your spring. It's just like a.
Well, Tobias, are you buying that now, or are you going to wait and see how it goes, or?
Excuse me, I have a little bit of a problem with hearing you guys. I think it's the internet connection.
I'm sorry. No, I was asking, were you going to buy that Diaclone Devastator?
You got $5,000 to flop down, don't you?
Oh God, it's too much money.
That's pocket change for you.
It's tough.
Okay.
Well, real quick, the other thing I wanted to say, I'm going to see if I can find it. We were talking about Raiden. Is usually, and of course, right now on eBay, I can't find it. There is a fairly decent knockoff that's been around for a while. And it's in more like, I wouldn't say goofy colors, but they're definitely not in the same colors. But it's definitely a cheaper alternative, and it's very, very similar.
Isn't it engineering?
I cannot find one.
Well, the modifications on that one, because I've had that one in hand as well. Some of the colors, like the green train, is actually a lot lighter color. Stickers are pretty much inferior compared to the original. It does not come with enough of the little. That one actually does come with the little bitty couplers that actually plugs all the trains together, but it only comes with one sprue of them. It's supposed to come with two sprues.
This is the one I was talking about. I don't know if it comes with all that stuff, but as you can see, this is an ugly green. I mean, it's not very good, but
it's not simplified.
It's also, you ready for this? $50. They don't go for what the other ones go for.
That's very true. And the thing is, back when this thing was on the market more often, and I'm saying like 2002, 2003, you were able to pick these guys up for roughly $10, $15. They are now driving up to about $50 to $100. Actually, for the loose one, $50. If you try to get one that's actually on the blister package, you're going to be paying pretty close to $100 for it.
Now, I just noticed this. I didn't know this, but it's got red eyes, and I'm digging that.
Yes.
It doesn't have the yellow eyes of an Autobot. It's got red eyes. I kind of like that.
Yeah, it does have red eyes. The stickers, like I said, were inferior. It does come with one set of the little bitty clips that holds the trains together. Mm. It does not come with the placemat. And it does not come with the cardboard buildings like the original.
Does it come with the individual guns or not?
No,
it only comes with the one single gun. And it does not have firing fists. The entire gimmick it's pretty much molded after the Transformers version.
It is, because it's got this piece too, which was only in the
right. You see those little bitty green things? That's the things I was talking about, the little couplers.
And these are like a lime green, whereas the Japanese ones are a dark green.
Yes. Yeah,
forest green kind.
Yeah. But that's primarily the big difference between those. But if you guys are out there hungering for a Raiden,
cheap
that
version,
would be the one I would try to get if you can't afford the original. And I admit, there's times that I myself, as a collector, come across a rougher, older bot or maybe a KO instead of having, the $1,500 to drop on it.
Well, here it is.
A little bit of an alternative. There's nothing.
You want to pay $1,500 for a Raiden? I'll sell you mine.
All right, here it is. One last pick.
Okay.
Here it is in the box. Found it. That's it.
And you can see it's
called Racing Carbot.
Yeah.
Awesome. Because it's a car, right? Cars
and racing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and there's the little spruce of the track pieces you were talking about, the connectors, I'm sorry.
Right.
Hopefully that'll be something some people can find, at least until we get a reissue, encore reissue, a third-party representation at some point.
Yeah, at some point. I've played with one of those before. They're not that bad. They're actually in the same scale as the original as well, so it's not like they mixed anything. I mean, they didn't really do a bad job on that version. Now, I will put a disclaimer out there. Well, I'm going to put a disclaimer out there, though. There is a inferior version of that that has been released, and it's in almost shampoo bottle plastic. Stay away from that one. You can normally tell when you see it in the package. The package is completely different than the one we just showed you. It's primarily just on a blister card. There's no cardboard thing that goes around the outside. And it will literally fall apart in your hands. It's pretty brittle. So my suggestion is to stay away from that one if you possibly can.
Stay away from the shampoo. We got it.
Yeah, stay away from that one because it's not that.
Like showers, I guess.
Stay away from the shampoo. Don't go to conventions, but stay away from shampoo.
I know, right?
We get enough of that as it is.
When they turn Diaclone Devastator into our Devastator, why was the connecting stability affected?
It was the mold. It was literally the mold. What it is when Hasbro decided to take upon the task of getting hold of that toy, they're like, okay, well, you know, well, they didn't take the molds that Takara had. They made their own. And they were just microns off on a lot of the fitment, and that's why it fits so loose. And
it's pretty sadly,
tight. Huh?
Mine locks like a rock.
Well, yours might, but I mean, I'm saying I've handled a lot of different Devastators, and there's a lot of times you can't pick him up and the lower half not just fall right off. I mean, there's a lot of times it happens.
The old one did that.
Right.
This one doesn't.
And I'm also talking about, like, even Scrapper's fitment of being a leg. It does not collapse on the Diaclone at all. On the Hasbro releases, it does that all the time.
Yeah, I had to get a second Scrapper for that. My other one just fell over.
Right, and the Diaclone one will not do that to you.
Are there any other Diaclone combiners we need to bring up? Because since we're talking about Devastator.
Let's float into the U.S. releases.
That's what I was about to say.
Because Devastator is the one I think even the most casual fan knows about Devastator. Because everyone remembers watching Heavy Metal War, watches the Dinobots, watches the Constructicons, and then boom, we get our first combiner.
Right, and if anyone remembers that episode, anyone who's as old as I am who remembers watching it for the very first time and was shocked when you saw them combined because you never – it just wasn't thought about.
Because at that point, it was like, okay, they're fighting the Dinobots. There's nothing they can do to win this fight. Wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then I'll even go one further because that – I think the shows aired and then it was only maybe a few months and then the toys were released. I mean, it was very, very close.
Yeah.
And I remember they released them individually blister pack. And even back then, I have no idea why. I guarantee – now someone will write in and correct me if I'm wrong. But I guarantee Hook was short packed. Because inevitably, I got five, and I didn't have Hook. And I searched Hook forever to complete this guy. And I can't be the only one who couldn't find that. But needless to say, by the time Christmas rolled around, I did have a complete Devastator for the collection.
And for all of his faults as a combiner having to use the connecting parts, and I don't mean fault, and I'm just saying he was the first, and so the technology did get better as the line progressed, but he's probably the most nostalgia fueled combiner. I mean,
well, he was the first.
He was the first.
Right. He was the first. If you look at U.S., he was the first. He's the one that started all the ones that we're going to talk about from here on out. Devastator was the first.
Well, okay, quick question just for everybody. Who do you feel was the actual leader of the Constructicons?
Scrapper.
Scrapper.
Yeah, it was Scrapper.
It was Scrapper. A lot of people said it was Hook because he was the head, but it's like, Scrapper.
Read your tech specs.
Yeah.
Read your tech specs.
Leader. It's kind of interesting. Because all the rest of the torsos lead. He's the only one with a leg that leads.
Mm-hmm. Longhorn's probably the one that's at the bottom of the totem pole in the constructed con hierarchy.
I don't remember. I just remember I could have sworn even the tech spec put him as the leader.
Yeah.
The leader's leg.
Right, and I was sitting here thinking, were there any other teams that the leader was not the center bot? And
Monstructor.
Well,
no, Slog was the leader.
Yes, Slog was the leader.
Well, Dino King wasn't. Ice Pick.
Yeah, because Dino King's the Tyrannosaurus.
Yep, Ice Pick is the leader, and he ends up being a leg.
There you go. We got two.
Well, let's see. Devastator is awesome. He was the first. But, I mean, they did get better.
I mean, yes, they did get better. Like, through time, the mold itself tightened. I noticed that when I mess around with my G1 Devastator, and then I go over and I'm going to start messing with my Generation 2 Devastator, I don't know what they did, and I'm talking about the yellow one, not the orange one, because sadly I still don't have an orange one. Knock on wood, I need one. But the yellow one, the fitment seems to be a lot tighter on that particular toy. I don't know. Is that true with you guys?
They got rid of all the firing stuff, so maybe they remolded it to be tighter when they did.
Or it's possible the extra weight didn't pull on the connecting pieces, because it was all friction and a couple of tabs and slots was holding the thing together.
Yeah, and it wasn't really solid locking mechanisms.
But, it was nice to get him again in G2 in both colors, if you can find both versions.
Technically, there's three different versions, but there's the one that did not combine that was European that we didn't get over here, that we just got done talking about with the silver bits.
Yeah.
No combiner bits with that one either.
That was G1 too, though, right?
1.5.
G1 release.
1.5.
Yeah.
Just wrong.
It's not 1.5. God, I hate that.
It's 1.5.
Still uses G1 symbols. It's G1.
You're going to butt heads on that.
Well, I'm going to ask Bias this. With you being over there in the land of wonder.
I was going to say misfit toys, but go ahead.
Did you all get Generation 2 in general? Did you get the Devastators in the Generation 2 colors at some point?
We did get Generation 2 toys. I think we got a lot of Generation 2 toys, if I remember it correctly. But I don't know if there were different colors. The Devastator, as you mentioned, was horrible because it couldn't combine. Or the individual parts wasn't devastating.
Well, you wouldn't have gotten the orange Devastator because that was a KB exclusive.
Yeah.
Well, I thought some of the stories were sold overseas.
You got the yellow one.
Yeah. Okay.
What were you saying, Don?
No, I'm saying I thought some of the store exclusives back during Generation 1, like the KB Devastator, was sold overseas in some countries.
Not that I know of.
I believe he's right about that. I actually think the orange one was sold, but it's very, very rare to get him over there. But there is when I've been all over the internet looking, there's a little site called iOffer that you can go to, and you can find KO versions of Devastator in green, yellow, orange,
white.
Hey,
white.
I said white, damn it, and then black, and I was about to say black, you butthead. Anyway,
sorry.
But anyway, from what I've gathered from the black one and the white one, the fitment is pretty good on those. For those that are really, really hardcore into I have to have every Devastator there is.
Yeah, but the official Devastator.
Yeah.
Right.
The official ones,
yeah, I can understand. But there is one really, really weird thing I do want to point out before we go any further. When you watch the Generation 2 commercial for Devastator, it is the European one that is combined that is beating the crap out of everything. I just want to add that because you can see all the silver portions on him, which to me I think is a bit of an insult to the guys that actually own those and cannot combine them. I myself, if I owned those, I would be all over eBay buying bits just to combine them because they deserve it. But that's just me.
Well, Devastator was the first, but then Season 2 came around. And that's when the floodgate for combiners just opened.
That's very true.
And we get probably, and I don't know about y'all, it's to me, this is when we get some of our best combiners in the United States.
Scramble City.
You know, basically Scramble City, you know, that was our version. You know, we get aerial bots, we get Stunticons, and Varsima. Then, unfortunately, we don't get an actual origin for the protective bots.
Yeah, they just show up one day.
Yeah, they just show up. And
I wish I could afford all these.
Yes, that just, you know, it's good, though, just as a side note, that Legacy book recently came out.
With all the artwork?
Yeah. It's got all the artwork. So if you can't have the toy boxes, that Legacy book is the next best thing to have all that gorgeous artwork right there. So at least, you know, that's an alternative anyway. But I'm going to just say my favorite combiner from of all time, U.S. combiner, appeared in Season 2. That's Bruticus. Bruticus is my boy. I like the fact he basically, they were, that's him. That's him.
That's my favorite combiner.
Yes. Yeah. I've had to replace my own spot, my Vortex, my original ones shattered a couple of years ago.
That green neck piece?
Depends on which one you got.
Yeah.
Which version.
I've had three of them break, jerks.
Then which version did you have? Because it probably wasn't the Japanese one.
No, mine was the Hasbro one purchased Kmart.
Well, the Hasbro one was the Japanese one, but then they also did one in, is that pronounced Macau? Macau?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what this one is. The plastic quality was, I'm not going to say it was like gold plastic, but it was definitely a lot more brittle.
The green plastic is almost like the Diaclone blue plastic.
Yeah. Now,
which mattered pretty easy.
Here's the funny part, and I've done a lot of research, and definitively, no one can say definitively that this is true. However, most people do agree that there is a gray Bruticus, which this is. It is not silver. The pieces are gray. And to be 100% complete, all the bots should be from McCall or Macau, however you pronounce it. So that was a regional that came this way. And they are all plastic also. There's no metal. It's not metal chested.
Okay, but this is my question. Has Onslaught got a launcher on that or not?
No.
Okay, because there is a variant out there that was one of the first released variants that actually has the launching mechanism on Onslaught versus the one that everybody else is familiar with, seeing the little black portion on the back. Everybody's like, what's that? What was that? That was a launcher that was incorporated into that toy at one time. I believe Megamus is hunting one up because he probably has one.
I do. I just don't know where the hell it is.
Well, with a Season 2, Who's combiner? What were your favorite combiners, and why was it? Why is it Bruticus? No, I'm kidding.
Bruticus is awesome. That's why. It was just the whole storyline. I know you're listening to my back, but oh well. The whole storyline was just great. I love the whole idea of Starscream making them up for revenge, and it was just great. The whole thing.
I'm just glad Starscream finally did something. failed.
Don't diss Starscream.
I'm just saying I'm glad he finally did something. It failed spectacularly, but he did something.
Don't diss him. All right. I'm going digging, so I had to turn that thing off so you don't look at my ass.
Well, what about you guys? I mean, what's y'all's favorite season 2 combiner?
I have to
say Dinosaur.
Who'd you say pass?
Bruticus.
Bruticus.
Absolutely.
Well, Bryce, why Minotaur? What?
I really like Motorcent Master's design. I don't know why. I like the cab feet.
Were you disappointed when you got him and when you say, all right, I've got Optimus Prime, this where they can finally, huh? And you had a slight side problem?
I liked it.
Because I remember getting Motor Masters like, these don't work like that.
I don't know about you, but when I had one, I actually sat there and played with it with my Hot Wheels because it was just literally a scale with the Hot Wheels.
Shit.
Don't step in it.
Poopy. Damn, this thing's stuck.
I like Motor Master. I just wish he had been a little bit bigger.
Well, I mean, honestly, Motor Master probably should have been a bigger bot, but the only portion that really bothered me about Minotaur is the whole head tucked inside the shoulders thing. I think they could have, on the back of that, honestly, I think they could have had like a flip out mechanism and actually had a head pop up instead. But I understand what they're trying to do because they're trying to make him look big and beefy, but it turned out he was shorter than everybody else.
Yep. And
it's like the poor little bastard that gets left behind because he can't find his inhaler.
Oh man. Well,
I figured out why I couldn't find it.
What's that?
Sold it.
No, because he's. Come on. There
he's
we go.
In the box.
He's in the box. He's in the box.
Oh.
So, yes.
Ugh. As we're sitting here listening to him grunt.
There it is.
Yeah, well, I can mention, by the way, another favorite of mine was Computron, but I'm way ahead of times here.
Well, here's the funny piece. Here's the funny thing. Let's bring find it here.
He's trying to find the funny piece.
There it is. Did you ever wonder why they made this piece?
Yeah. At the time, I thought it was just a chest shield.
It's just a chest shield, but actually what it is it plugs into a piece. And that's what the launcher was. And let's see here.
And I am going to admit something. I did not. That is the first time I've ever heard about that. I did not know that Onquall would do that.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't even know if the instructions show it. They might show it, but anyway, when you
wasn't in instructions back then.
It might be. I just can't, I can look here in a minute, but here's that's but the everyone knows what this form is.
Yeah, the bay.
Yeah. Let's see if I can do this, hold this, and keep it from falling.
Ugh. He's going to attempt to launch one here and see what happens.
There you go. Can you see? Whoops. You see? Whoops. Get over there, bitch. Here we go. There he goes. And it works.
No, I did not. I feel ashamed now. I literally did not know that toy did that.
I can't remember how this one works.
I had mine for 30 years.
I can't remember how this one works.
Well, the thing is, Dom, which Onslaught do you have?
The Japanese Motor Master does too. I have it right here.
Yeah, I have the Japanese.
Well, and so does Silverbolt.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Now, was it left in the American version and just not even mentioned, or was it totally gutted in the American version?
Gutted.
They were totally gutted in the American version.
There you go again, the battle base version of Motormaster. If you look right up here, there's a little extra piece of plastic. I'll turn it this way.
Yeah.
If I can get it to work. I think that's a, yeah, it is. Okay. I couldn't remember how to get it to work. Let me do it again.
Yep.
You see?
Yep.
Okay. And it pops.
Okay.
And for all the – let me also put this out there. For those guys that are doing the audio, if later on you want to watch this, you can see what he's also doing. Or if you want to see a more in-depth review, you can go check out my review of these guys, because I have reviewed these before. And I do know – since we're talking about the Motormaster, I know – Megamus has this particular one as well. There's one that's kind of almost in Autobot colors that came out. It's a was it Taiwan?
Yeah. Let me show this real quick, just because I have it out. If you look right here on the instructions, it does show it.
Ah.
So it does show it. It is on the instructions. However, it doesn't show on the instructions to put that plate on there. But that's what I was always told what you're supposed to do with it.
Because even back then, the instructions are wrong.
Well, they just don't always show everything.
Right. Anyway,
it's an Easter egg. It's a retro Easter egg.
I don't know where that one's at. I know which one you're talking about. I don't know where that one's at. So, anywho. And I'm going to go look and see if my Superion... I think the one I have does have the launcher. So I'm pretty sure all three of them had the launching mechanisms gutted for the U.S. release.
Yes, I believe you're right.
Yeah.
But the variant that I was talking about is in Autobot colors. The Motormaster looks like Optimus Prime.
That's right. Yeah, I do have that.
Yeah.
And you want to hear the funny part?
What's that?
It's got the launcher.
Yeah, it does. It does have the launcher in it, which is what makes that one pretty cool. There is no die-cast in that particular one that I am talking about. It is a great high-quality KO, though. It's very well done.
Well, I wouldn't say it's high-quality, but it's of a quality.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a crap quality, though, because
right,
we have
right.
crap quality Minasaurs out there with Computron add-on bits. This so thing blows all those away, every one of them.
Yes, but you're not going to get the quality of Takara.
No, you'll never get that quality. But that is a decent variant if you guys are into the Masquerade version of the Minasaur. That's actually a perfect stand-in for it, because it does have all the correct robots and everything for that. So if you guys are customizers and you want to get you one, go for it, because that's a great one to customize to turn into Masquerade if you really wanted to. But let's move on to Season 2, I guess. And yes, if you hadn't noticed, Minasaur is my favorite out of that line.
Who pales in comparison to Bruticus, but okay.
No.
Features
well, you know.
I just like the cars and truck. That's all.
The only thing about Season 2, the only combiner really that I have a problem with is Superion, just because he will not stand.
Sometimes you're lucky and you'll get one that's decent. But, yeah, for the most part, they don't stand very well.
Yeah, it's like – remember More Than Meets the Eye when Soundwave turns into his telephone pole mode and he just leans forward? That's kind of what my Superion has always done out of the box. It's just sort of
– Well, I honestly think it's just the way that they were made. It's just – it's a crappy design.
Yeah, it wears out.
This is what's really crazy about Superion, since we're going to talk about him. Even in the G2 version, both of my Superions don't really have issues with the whole falling forward. I know what you're talking about. I've seen KOs that make these things completely fall on the floor. But honestly not too bad. But the crazy thing about Superion, when he was designed for the Diaclone line, and yes, I said he was designed for the Diaclone line but never released, he was not going to have feet pads for the jets because he was actually going to stand on the jets, and he did not have a larger head sculpt along with the chest piece, had the wings that are that come out on the sides of the little clamp-on chest piece. Those wings were completely nixed. They did not exist. The design of that particular one actually looked better than the one we actually got on the shelves, in my opinion. The color gradation was a lot different. It was more of a red, white, blue, and black scheme. It didn't have much gray at all. And it, honestly, I think it actually looked a lot better than the Superion we actually got. I was more of a fan of it.
Yeah. The only thing bad about the Superion, other than that, is when we got the G2 version, what they did to Slingshot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, with Slingshot and G2, sadly, they decided to turn him completely gold, which is really weird because you look at all the rest of the jets, there's almost a cohesive, like, stunt plane kind of motif going on there. And then you had this one gold. Yeah, and then you had the one gold plane. And I understand what they're trying to do there because they're trying, you know, bring the gold plastic kind of thing in through all the lines. And the remolding of the wings where it actually has missile launchers. And yes, he does have the firing mechanism. Nice.
So basically, right, that's why a complete G2 Superion will run you quite. I haven't checked the prices lately, but the last time I saw one, it was. And he still said the Slingshot is attached. It is not broke. It is not glued. But he made no qualms. But if you choose to disassemble him.
Well,
what you guys could do. And yes, I'm plugging my YouTube again because I actually did a review of mine. I took a old G1 Slingshot that pretty much was done, like paint-wise and all that stuff. I repainted him gold so that way I can actually use him on my G2 Superion. Because being a large G2 enthusiast like I am, there are going to be times it's like, look, if there is a GPS problem, I'm going to find some way around it because I personally like the colors of some of these guys. And yeah. I really thought it was kind of cool that, you know, he was gold, just kind of sticking out as like, you know, because Slingshot, honestly, even in the G1 fiction and stuff, he was always kind of like the outsider. He was the guy that pretty much didn't fit the mold like everybody else.
And he was also a big
And I can see why, they, you know, making him more of an antagonist, he would choose gold versus the other colors. So it does make complete sense.
And then I'm trying to prove a point here.
Okay. Uh-oh.
To Don.
Okay. What's the point?
I didn't do anything. Because I don't even know if my point's going to work here.
Whenever someone says I'm trying to prove a point, it means I've done something wrong.
You made a statement.
Oh, okay.
And you said yours was right out of the box, and you said it was very floppy. And
I
haven't combined this one in years.
Because mine came from a Christmas gift from my parents. Actually, they got me a Jetfire, and I wanted the Aerial Bot gift set. So we went back to Toys R Us the next day after Christmas, and I swapped out my Jetfire for a Superion gift set.
Oops.
Whoops. I have been told that whoops more than, oh, that was a good deal. So.
I don't know. I think a Superion gift set's harder to find in good shape than a Jetfire.
I think I would have had more fun with the Superion than I would have just with one big gigantic.
But I can tell you right now that Jetfire is one of the funnest and best G1s.
Jetfire
definitely got a lot of play value out of it.
Yeah. I would say Jetfire literally is the strongest mold out of the whole G1 line because it's just it's so articulated compared to everything else, but that's because it was brought from another line.
Yeah. True.
But let's get back on the season two stuff. What else came out of there, Don?
Well, you had Defensor, which is fan favorite. We got no origin story at all. He just showed up one day. It's like, who the hell is this?
Here I am.
but it's amazing. I think he actually got more characterization, I believe, in season three than he ever did in season two. Just as far as the individual protective bots.
I mean, yes, he did. Honestly, I think for those who were never able to get hold of an Inferno, actually having Hotspot was pretty cool. I had Inferno when I was a kid, but I never did have Hotspot when I was a kid. And then when I got older, I got a hold of them and then messed around with them. And I noticed that Hotspot's ladder was longer than Inferno's ladder, and I thought that was really weird.
Genetics.
Ladder envy.
Oh, right? Ladder envy there, buddy.
Yep.
But no, I like the Protect-a-Bots. I have to admit, they're freaking cool.
And I think of all the Scramble City-style combiners up to that point, I think Defensor was the solid bunch.
Well, there you go. And I'll be the first to say it. This thing is the first time I've combined it probably almost ever.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, and it is – is it floppy? No. But does he stand?
Do this, Megamist. Pull the feet pad.
He's standing.
Pull the feet pads off of him and try standing him just on the jets.
Look. You know, as long as he's looking at his toes, he looks fine.
Yeah. Well, see,
pull the feet pads off and stand him on his jets. You'll find out. I think he actually stands a little more solid that way.
See, Megamus pulls his legs opposite me because I always put the rope at chest facing forward.
What do you mean?
Huh?
What do you mean?
Well, you've got.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, and that's one thing I was going to bring up when we get to the new stuff coming out.
That's a little better. He still wants to do the whole, whoa, you know. But, yeah, here we go. See? He's standing. Standing without any feet.
So I guess you say he's footloose and fancy free.
He's definitely fancy free.
Well, one of the things though, when
I'm trying not to laugh, he's put his best not to laugh at that horrible thing.
But yeah, I'm one of those kind of guys. I actually like even with Menasor, I actually turned the bottom, the leg robots the other direction. Yes, I know that's blasphemy for some people, but when you do that, and if you wanted to. He has knee articulation that way.
Yeah, because that has been the opposite.
Yes, and honestly, I honestly think it's really, really cool that you're able to do that with, you know, a Generation 1 combiner. Considering, you know, a lot of people said they didn't have much articulation. Back then, articulation wasn't the biggest thing on the list, but when you're able to fan mode certain things and a transformation joint works... Why not use it and exploit it? That's what exactly. I tend to do a lot.
See, not getting off on a tangent, but see, I've had many conversations at BotCon about when we sit down and we fill out our what sets we would like to see. And I've put down many times if the UK molds are still viable, your Lightformers, your Tracons, your Turbo Masters, if those molds still exist and are viable, I should say. Use those, get them back out and available to people who can't afford them as they are now. Before they cannot be reused, and people keep saying, "Oh, they don't have any articulation, they don't have any ball joints." It's like growing up with articulation; it's not something that I have to have. because I've got perfect fine transformers that have 5-point articulation. And that's one thing about the combiners. They didn't have much articulation, but looked good doing what they could do.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, to me, articulation's a bonus when it comes to certain robots. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Season 2, Computron, he is my favorite. I think Computron was probably one of the best combiners out of the entire line, out of all of Scramble City, because I'm a little biased on him. But, I mean, he has decent articulation, but you didn't really need articulation for him because he just looked like a big, beefy wrecking machine, just the way he was designed.
Yeah.
Megamus is holding up a box set of Defensor, which is awesome.
Yes, Defensor. Japanese.
Yes. And what was weird about Defensor, he didn't have any kind of launching gimmick, I don't believe, at all.
No, he just had that funky repair bay mode with those creepy arms.
Well,
I mean, see if they changed anything or gutted or neutered anything, and I don't think they did.
I think there was literally no difference between those two.
I think that's correct.
But yeah, I mean, Defensor was probably one of the coolest bots. I mean, he did have head articulation, which was a big plus above everybody else. When he didn't use Groove as a leg and used a different bot for a leg, he actually had pretty decent knee articulation too. But that's just me because I like to switch things around backwards sometimes.
Well, there's one other thing that I wanted to mention, and that is that have you noticed that Groove comes with either a gold chest or a silver chest? Did anyone notice that?
Yes, no, I did.
I have
the gold chest. The gold chest came with the gift sets. The silver chest or individual.
I believe mine is a gold chest on mine, if I remember right.
And I thought it was extremely funny that when they packaged them at Streetwise, you had to squish his hood up to get him to fit in the damn styrofoam. I thought that was funny. They just kind of crammed him in there.
It's like they designed everything on that one corner. Like,
they went and they went, oh, damn it, just throw him in there. Scrunch him in there. So they did. They scrunched him in there.
You know, it's a shame we didn't get anyone but Devastator in the 86 movie, but the movie was already in production well before the aerial bots and the Stunicons were even finished, I believe, on the design boards, from what I remember them saying. But we got Devastator in the movie, and then that was it for that. And then after the movie, we get Season 3. And Season 3 is pretty interesting. We get Technobots, and we get Predacons, and Predaking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the best combiners out there. One of, not the best, but one of.
Yeah, Abominus is like the most articulated G1 combiner ever designed.
And that's because basically our legs were multi-ratcheted.
Yeah,
I always thought this was neat, and I think it's one of them. But U.S. gift set.
Oh God! And I hate you.
What is missing? What's missing? Give you a hand.
Hold up,
there's
no hand.
No box flap.
Oh, there's no hand.
No box flap. They got rid of the box flap.
Oh, box flap.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing is if you look, I always thought this was funny. Here are, and the U.S. and the Japanese, they were the same, but here is Bruticus and Defensor, and see how thin they are?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, Computron was – but honestly, I think that was because Scattershot is a –
he's so huge.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. You ready? Most people don't know this either. Look how much bigger that box is. Huge.
And that was something for the time, taking up that much space on a toy shelf.
Yeah, it took up a lot of space. Now, if you open it up...
Oh.
There's a crap ton of space in that thing.
There's, yeah, they even got little holes here and everything. It was... It's like, why did you do that? You didn't really need to. But they did.
From someone who doesn't, like I said in the past, I don't keep up with all the variants. And at the time, I was buying these just for me. And as a collector, I've not gone back and purchased variants and the hard to find things that I already have. But can you explain for the people who don't know it, which of these American gift sets really actually came out? Because there's a lot of confusion over what really was released in the U.S. for season 3 toys. I mean, we know the Technobots were released, obviously, in the U.S., but it was extremely hard to find.
I don't know if they were just so hard to find or if that because they were towards the end.
Yeah, but I've been hearing for years about that there was an Abominus gift set released that was one of those test market things.
Test market, I've seen it. I've seen pictures of it. I think the Hartmans had one.
Yeah.
But that's all I know of. I mean, I've got the Japanese one. Mm-hmm. They did do the Japanese, but they never did a U.S. version Abominus.
Did Pred King ever come in a G1 gift set for the U.S.?
No. That was Japanese only.
Japanese only, okay.
Yeah, Pred King was all individual. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't the ones that were released in the States, were they just plastic only? Or were they?
My Pred King has some die-cast in it, and all mine were just loose flea markets.
Yeah. I bought all mine, and I had four metal and dive bomb with plastic. And I've had that since I was a kid. So.
Yeah, because most all mine came from flea markets, yard sales, toy shows and stuff. And I've got die-cast. I think mine's the same as yours, Magnus. It's die-cast at four and just a plastic dive bomb.
Yeah. Now – I've heard that the Japanese gift set was metal only, but I cannot confirm that.
I've heard that too.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's true. I do know in the U.S. we had both.
Okay. I wasn't absolutely sure on that. But I do want to go back and maybe backtrack here just a second. There was going to be a Generation 2 version of Minasaur, which a lot of you guys already have seen the stupid eBay auction that went for an insane amount of money. Those were test shot store samples that were sent out that quite a few people got in hand. That's why you do see some G2 Minasaur stuff hanging out. The same thing happened with Defensor. As far as I know, and I'm guessing maybe Megamus might know a little more about this,
oh my God!
A hotspot is extremely difficult to find, right?
Man. Both the leaders are supposedly there were box samples, but none have shown up yet. There's a guy that supposedly got some sort of an artwork or something for the leaders, but has yet to come forward with it.
Well,
so far all we have is the limbs.
Yeah, actually, I remember when John and Carl was selling their collection, and they have the cardboard, what would have been the cardboard box, the layout design it, and they have or had Motormaster and Hotspot loose in G2 colors, but even they could not find a box version of each.
And as a matter of fact,
if the Hartmans couldn't find it.
Well, as a matter of fact, the Hartmans didn't even know about the launcher that came with Motormaster until that auction just came out this year.
Okay, yeah. That I did not
know. That was undocumented. No one knew. Just all of a sudden, you found out it was supposed to come with a launcher too. However, that auction also didn't have the faceplate. So who knows? It either fell out of the baggie or never came with it or whatever. But
right. But if you guys want to see more in-depth things, obviously, you know me, G2 guy, I've done my own custom G2 Minasaur and Defensor and have done reviews of them. I do customs for people to do if they actually want those. So PM me on Facebook if you're actually interested in any of the custom variants of those guys. But yes, those were not ever official releases. I myself have even done a Abominus and Computron custom G2s that were never, ever documented. I just did exactly what I think they would have been, and there's a lot of people who kind of agree with me with the color schemes on those. So,
well, Tobias, up until this point, up until we get to the end of the American series, because after in Rebirth, no other combiners appeared in Rebirth. That was it for the American combiners. Once we got Freddy King and Abominus and Computron in season 3, did you get all of these overseas relatively soon after the U.S., or did it take a while to get all of the American combiners?
I don't really know how long the time span was between the U.S. release and European release, but I think we got them fairly at the same time. I know that Computron came out at the same time, if I don't remember things.
Well, I've always found it fascinating how Hasbro sees how well this stuff is selling, and then it takes forever for them to get it to the other markets. It's like...
You know, in the 80s, you got a European manufacturer for the Transformer toys, most of them. Not everything was imported, because we had, was it Palitoys?
Mm-hmm.
I think. Mm-hmm. That made the toys here in Europe, so... yet Firewatch in Europe was the leader according to the textbook sheets for release with them. So it was a whole separate market for Transformers.
Did I answer
your question?
Yeah, definitely. It's just weird on how long it may take to get these toys to other Hasbro markets. You know, so we in the U.S. kind of take it for granted that we'll get it within like 6 months, and it could be a year or more before it shows up anywhere else.
Yeah, okay. But this is well into season 2 we are talking about, or season 3.
Season 3.
And about that time... we got all the toys at American market. Well, most of them, not all of them.
But yeah, we didn't see any more combiners for a long time, pretty much after that, until Headmasters obviously had the Raiden. But we didn't really see any other crazy combiners that we didn't really talk about much until Victory Series came out. And Victory, let me backtrack that a little bit. Master Force, we did have King Poseidon, a.k.a.
God Neptune.
God Neptune, or anybody wants to call him Piranicon.
Yeah.
I think he was the only official Transformer that actually came over to the state side as well, that was that we actually got from that line, other than the Pretenders. It was really weird seeing that on
the Fire Masters, the Juniors we got.
Yeah. And but see, the main difference in Master Force and that they only Snaptrap sentient. The rest of the Seacons were like drones or just bare bones robots, and you could have, they're like Decepticons. You know, you might have 100 Scalors flying through the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the that was the weird thing about that one series is you had this one that came out that was Scramble City, and it did work with all your older bots, but it literally was the only one that came out in that entire line, which was really weird.
And it's weird. Veronicon is probably up until a couple years ago, he was the only one that had gotten a reissue there for the longest time. I think through BBTS, you know.
Right, and the reissue has color differences along with some chrome. The chrome actually does make the reissue look a lot better than the original, but the original has like a lavender color for like the sword and the chest wings.
Some dark purple on Overbite.
Yeah, and then the dark purple on Overbite, and I believe that was only really the only differences, correct?
The head for Snaptrap's black on the original. It's green on the reissue.
Okay.
And we also got the C-Cons at a Collector's Club reissue in what would have been their universe colors.
Yeah, the that's the one that has the weird maroon colors and such, which, to be honest, I would have thought that would have been more of a G2 scheme because there are some pretty wild colors that were in that box set.
He does not blend together well.
No, he doesn't blend together well, but honestly, I like him just because of how crazy it is.
Pretty much, the only way that would be considered camouflage for that version of Veronicon is if you had a Twister mat mounted to the wall and you set him in front of the Twister mat. Then you might have a trouble seeing him.
Yeah, he actually looked really, really interesting. Sadly, I don't have that one yet. When I do end up getting it, you guys will see a review of it. But that's to be in the future. But after that, we dived into Victory.
Victory gave us
quite a few combiners. Victory literally dumped almost a motherload of combiners on us.
Some excellent.
Not so much.
Not so much, yeah.
There's the Autobot trio.
Oh, beautiful display, Bryce. I hate you.
Yeah.
Well, as much as I would like to love Road Caesar, he is not one of my favorites.
Hey, MC Hammer needs love too.
I mean, honestly, Road Caesar, I think, because if you put Road Caesar next to Lyo Kaiser, they stand pretty much neck to neck, which makes sense for those two to actually, you know, stand eye to eye. But
except for Road Caesar looks like a dump, and Lyo Kaiser is the best combiner ever.
Yeah.
Right.
Lyo Kaiser is a Japanese boy.
That's very true. I mean, Road Caesar does look pretty inferior considering it looks like you took three deluxe series cars from nowadays and slapped them together and made a combiner out of it.
Three oversized MicroMasters.
Yeah. I mean, they are oversized MicroMaster design and transformation. But
I mean, you know, probably Road Caesar's probably one of the few combiners I like the robots better.
Right.
But he definitely, you know, has a place in a lot of people's collections. Again, the Brainmaster gimmick was unique for Victory. We did not get that in the U.S.
Yeah, that was literally like one of the craziest things that really blew my mind about Road Caesar is he's a combiner and he also has like a Brainmaster gimmick. You know, because we're used to like the Headmasters and Targetmasters by that point when this thing came out, but a combining robot that has smaller robots that are actually inside of it that do not need to be removed was actually a really cool gimmick.
Yeah, definitely. The dust makes it authentic.
The dust makes it authentic. It's actually styrofoam inside the canopy.
So, Tobias, Road Caesar-wise, how'd it go over there for you guys? Because I know we had the ones that were released that did not combine. Did you get a Road Caesar?
I don't think we got a Road Caesar.
Just to look for him.
We did get the Seacons. I can remember that, seeing that in toy stores at the time. But that was the closest thing we got to Japanese cartoons.
Wow.
Then there's this guy.
I can't remember.
Yeah, he's got two that should be in there.
Yeah, where's the real one? Have you got access to the real one?
He's across the room. Give me a second.
Access to what?
Bryce's dragging out for our audio listeners. He's grabbing Rescue Force, which is pretty much a recolor of what Wild Kaiser was, minus the chest gun.
No, just the arms.
Guys and the arms.
Some of us worked around that.
Yeah. Right. I would have loved if they had reissued all six Rescue Force members in the Rescue Force colors.
Well, they kind of did.
And there's eventually. Lyle Kaiser.
That's the real Lyle Kaiser. That is to me the best Japanese combiner. Period. He's awesome. He's sturdy. He looks menacing.
Not too many extra parts.
And there's no connector bits. There's no kibble issues for the most part.
The only connector bit you have is the helmet.
Yeah. And the only downside to this excellent, awesome figure is that one of his entire legs is gold plastic again.
Well, it depends on which one you get.
This is the Chinese version?
Chinese version doesn't.
Oh, okay.
It's like the newer gold plastic they use. It's kind of pale, doesn't have as much swirl.
They just mixed it different, I guess, or something. But yeah, it doesn't have the issues. The
Japanese one is staying in the box, and I'm never taking it out.
But you were talking about Rescue Force?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hey, go. Rescue Force. Autobot Leo Kaiser.
I just knocked the gun off mine.
So that's one of the KOs, or is part Rescue Force and...
You got the four bots to Rescue Force, and then there are two Korean knockoffs that are in these goofy colors. And then I just had someone make a custom head cast for me in white.
Okay.
There you go. Looks a lot like that one.
Yeah, except for mine, it's got the regular colored arms because I'm too lazy to paint them.
Oh, this is the way this custom or this Korean one. If you look on the back, that's the colors it came in. It looked a lot like the G2. So in my opinion, this is like a G2 Leo Kaiser.
This one's those Metamorph knockoffs. They had the Metamorph, So.
But now, Leo Kaiser had pretty much Road Caesar to fight against.
Only one thing I didn't like, and that's on Leo Kaiser, and I wish he would have had his three-piece staff. Yeah, that he had in the show.
Yeah,
yeah. I just think he definitely should have came with that.
I kind of wish, you know, because you got all these guys who go out there and they do these third-party add-on kits. Like Junkion Blacksmith came out with two different sets that combine together to make some ginormous sword for Predaking. And you've got stuff like that that comes out for all these other combiners. But Lyle Kaiser, there's never been a third-party guy that's came in and said, hey, I'm going to make a staff for your Lyle Kaiser. Well, that needs to happen.
Anything.
Well, here's,
and honestly,
here's,
here's. Well, this is the thing. I think if they do that, they should also include within that, because most people that own a Lyle Kaiser are also going to have either a Monstructor or Dino King, and include the crazy staff that he had as well, the pole arm staff.
That he had. Shit that the little ones had. Well, none of them had a gun. They always had, like, a club or a sword or something.
Yeah, melee weapons for the most. But I still think a third party that stops doing Predakings and start and does a Lyle Kaiser.
There was a Dino King teased recently.
Yeah. Well, Monstructor was teased at TFCon. We don't the manufacturer as far as I know yet, but we know that
I have a general idea because I've seen a poster with the chest piece and head. Beside another Triceratops looking dinosaur.
But
I don't know who did both of those recently.
But I think if someone does a third-party Lyokaiser to the point where it's more affordable than the real one, you'll start seeing people doing the accessories for it. But it's going to take a third-party Lyokaiser to get people to produce these things. Otherwise, they're going to stick with a lot of the G1 stuff.
Right, because, I mean, there's a lot of times we have, like, add-on kits, and, you know, we've been talking about, like, some of the stuff in the past, like the X-Trans bought add-on kit for Devastator. I personally have. I love it. I think it's cool. There's some people out there hate it, but, I mean, you get that. You have the add-on kit for Optimus Prime for your G1. You know, all these different kind of add-on kits. I mean, they had the ones for Menasor. You had the ones for Piranicon. You had some for even Bruticus. Gave him longer guns on his back as well. There's a lot of different things they've had that's come out in the past few years that's really improved a lot of these G1 and combiners to really make them fit and really stick out on the shelves. And, you know, a few of the other ones we didn't really touch base on with the Victory series was, you know, we had Landcross, of course, which is an insane combiner in itself because it combines with itself, what was it, like 37 times or something like that?
30 combinations. 36, I think.
36 different combinations, 37 including it being combined into the larger form. But there are a lot of different combiners that's come out, and there's even, you know, you had Battle Gaia and Guard City, which are recolors of Bruticus and
Principle, which, with these little guys in here.
Yeah, and then we've got a ton. I'm talking a ton of freaking Micromancer combiners that have come out throughout the year.
There's five molds and something like 15 or 16 recolors.
Right.
Yeah. They originally came in packages like this, and pull out Megamesis for fun.
Yeah.
And send it to me. And also back in the early 2000s, there was a big rush on re-releasing those, which is what Bryce was saying about all the different colors. I mean, you got, and we were getting those at Cape Quiz Ball places.
These, that's the original Build King down there, right?
Huh?
Came with funky colors. So then the re-release, they gave them a more Devastator looking in KB toys. The six wing got a Decepticon repaint, which was actually really nice.
Yeah, it was.
The Japanese ones had all the chase figures too.
Yeah, and solid black and solid white,
like red
to do.
Solid green.
The Fury.
Yeah, I need to get that thing still.
I actually have all of them, including the Landcross in all black, but they're kind of high. But
those, every one of those combiners, though, when they did those reissues, it was crazy how many chase figures came out. I mean, you had
four sets.
You had the four sets. Landcross. Like the six wing had, you know, it came out in some Decepticon colors. But then he had a white one, which is even the hardest. I think it was honestly probably the hardest one to find.
What's that? That one's called Berserker, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was Berserker, Fury. What was the green one?
Reverse Evolution was six turbo.
Yeah, and then they had another one. I mean, and then the black Landcross. But I thought they all had names too, because I remember the red one was called Fury. The white one was called Berserker. But they all had names, too. I can't either. But
the Micromancer ones, I don't know how I honestly don't see how they could possibly do anything with the Micromancers unless they really upscale those to, like, you know, the lunch size for third party. I mean, I really don't see what they could do with that. I mean,
they've already done some in the New Generations line. Every partner that, like, Swerves and Cosmos, they're all carrying a Micromaster. Last Master is, I think, Cosmos.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm talking about, like, unofficial. Honestly, I don't know what do you guys think third party would do with that?
I want Masterpiece ones to go with Warcry, because he's pretty much straight up masterpiece Growl. There's no other place to put him. He doesn't really fit in classics. Too big for Michael Master.
Yeah, because I mean, I myself, I'm a big fan of the six liner and the six train, and I would really interested to see maybe if they decided to do a third party Raiden, if they were able to somehow incorporate those other two in that scheme, if they decided to do, like, you know, try to melt the mold like they normally do, which is probably the best thing that they could do.
But they'd have to do a remold to get the chest right.
Right. And
you could probably pull it off.
Well, one of them would have to be remolded anyway, because it wouldn't be a diesel locomotive. It would be the old steam engine. So I could probably see them possibly doing a remold of just that guy.
Well, what's interesting is that with the current Sentai series, Russia Sentai Accuser beating Train Beast, maybe that'll give these third-party groups an idea on somehow tapping into those designs, but using them for a new rating. I mean, the trains are always popular in Japan. So, it could be something there. You never know. You never know what's going to inspire these people to do the next combiner.
Right. I mean, honestly, if you guys are thinking, what do you think is going to be like the next combiner that they would like do like a encore reissue of? What do you guys think it would possibly be?
I don't know. How many times can they do Predaking? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Five more. Keep doing that.
Or Devastator.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they haven't done Devastators in G1 and D2. You know, so
we got a yellow one.
Yeah, I still want. Hello.
Superion.
Hello, Matty. I want Wild Kaiser. Unless the mold is completely non-salvageable, it's just gone at this point, that needs an encore reissue because the original one is too expensive for Fanstow Ford. It's just too. There is no. Unless you get the KO version.
So is Metro Titan, but we didn't get a reissue of him. Jerks.
So, well, that's the screwed up thing, and honestly, I think the reason we don't get a reissue Metro Titan is because of the MicroMaster, because I don't know if they even have the mold for that portion.
Well, the thing is, though, they have enough MicroMaster / Arms Microns that they could surely one of the Arms Microns
10 parts.
Yeah, I mean,
they can make a new mold.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you know, heck, they could use a Hot Rodas from Star Convoy. We know that mold's viable. If you can mold the Rodas by itself.
I think he's gang molded, though.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if it is gang molded with the rest of it, then that's part of the problem is a lot of people don't understand when these things are molded on these sprues, they're not sure what parts are actually on that same sprue when they mold it. And
Skullstalkers loan that mold because that's how they released Gravity Crater.
Right.
Him and probably a couple others are alone, but not very many. Most of them are in twos.
Right, and that's the thing. If they got hold of a like Rabbit Crater's, you know, mold, they could easily give us a Metro type.
Yeah, Metro Bomb is Rabbit Crater's same mold.
Yeah, it's identical. It's just in orange and black versus the black and blue or Skystalker's purple and orange.
I wish they'd done Metro Bomb in red, because then at least you'd be a different color. The orange kind of diminishes its coolness.
Yeah, that's very true. I kind of agree with you on that, because I really wish when they did some of these other sets that are really, really rare like that, that they would have thought things through. Like, I mean, honestly, why would Kill Bison be gold? You know,
because Shiny Tank.
Wild Kaiser. Shiny Tank, but I mean, it's like, would it have made any difference if he was tan? You know? Because I think it would have probably worked better if it was tan, because they're supposed to have been military vehicles. So, I just find it really odd. It's probably just because they wanted something shiny.
Well, I guess with thus having covered all of G1, pretty much, that's going to be a good place to start for this week. Just because there's so much left to talk about as far as Combiner, and we don't want to really leave out anybody. Plus,
you definitely don't want to go through the rest of them today.
Because I think, not really, it's not much of a spoiler, but I think we can all agree Beast Wars gave us some of the most unique Combiners we've ever seen. And we want to talk about those. Well, hello, Matty. Yes, you're on camera. They're all here for you. Thank you for taking your claws out of my chest. So, we'd like to mention our sponsor, Capture Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service, CaptureProy.com. Also, Megamus also does MegatoyFan.com as well. So, again, thanks to them for all their sponsorship through the years. Anybody else have anything you want to add about Combiners or things in general about cap on chest?
I think, well, you guys tune in to the show next week, and we will end up having a continuation of our Combiner episode here. Sadly, Sideburn could not join us this week because he's feeling a little bit under the weather. We're going to ship him a bottle of Jack and tell him to, you know, suck it up next week. But, I think that's about it, considering we're going to dip into a little bit of Beast Wars next week. So a lot of you guys out there love your Beast Wars. Please turn in. You guys are going to enjoy it.
And I can mention another thing. We were talking about a new segment on TFYLP last week called Crap or Not.
That's right.
Yep. Crap or Not Crap.
And I've been working on that this week besides my usual work. So this Monday, the first episodes of Crap or TFYLP toy review, Crap or Not, will be released.
All right. That's
great.
Hey, something to follow on Monday.
On the Facebook and the regular.
Outstanding. Looking forward to that.
Yes.
We all now have a reason to look forward to something on a Monday.
Yeah, because no one likes Mondays.
Do you mean your Monday, or our Monday?
Oh, yeah. It probably will be late Sunday for you guys on the United States.
Okay.
But officially, it's Monday.
Okay. Well, you are broadcasting from the future, so...
Yeah, it's already Saturday here, so...
All right, well, I guess that's it for the week. Thank you for joining us on episode 130 of TFYLP. I have been your host, quote-unquote, Headmaster Don. Guys, where can everybody find you at?
You guys can obviously go to Plasticon Studios to check out all my craziness I got going on. I got some reviews and short films there. You can find me on Twitter as Plasticon Studios. You can find technically everything there. So, easy to find me.
brr-ic.blogspot.ca for a bunch of old G1 reviews and comparisons and stuff.
About life in Canada in general?
Pardon?
Sure. And about life in Canada in general?
No, I think it starts out with cold. But yes.
He has the snow.
As far as finding me, anything Mega Toy Fan, you can Google it. You'll find it everywhere.
He's everywhere you want him to be.
And some places you don't.
Just don't drop the soap. That's all I got to say.
MegaToyPorn.com.
Well, I guess Tobias, you can reach on Facebook, right? Since you'll be doing the crap or not there.
I will post that on TFYLP.
Excellent. Facebook and group. I can be found at on Twitter at HMRC for EVR. Also on Radio Free Cybertron. apparently I'm not moving here, so I'll be in the same spot next week because apparently I'm not going anywhere for a while. But, you know, again, cat. Yeah. So,
our sponsor. Massey's our little sponsor.
Massey's
the mascot.
Yeah, yeah. Catch or prey. Catch or prey. Anyway, guys.
The mascot.
Anyway, guys, everybody, thank you for joining us this week. And join us again next time for another TFYLP.
Yeah.
Later.
See you.
Peace out, you guys.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.